Searchlights sweep a cloudy twilight sky and illuminate a towering edifice in the form of the words Fox Searchlight Pictures. Fox Searchlight Pictures, a News Corporation company. Fox Searchlight Pictures presents.
My favorite children's book is about a little prince who came to Earth from a distant asteroid. He meets a pilot whose plane has crashed in the desert. The little prince teaches the pilot many things, but mainly about love. My father always told me I was like the little prince, but after I met Adam, I realized I was the pilot all along.
An Olympus Pictures production in association with Serenade Films, Deerpath Productions, and Vox 3 Films. Adam. A man sits eating at a dining table. Delicately handsome with a couple of days' stubble, he stares vacantly as Earth is shoveled into a grave. The funeral is attended by just a few mourners. He makes notes on a pad as he eats at a table. His laptop is open in front of him. He continues to stare at the graveside. An older man in a trilby hat pauses behind him, groping for something to say, then moves away. A freezer is full of boxes of macaroni and cheese and packets of the same vegetables. Identical cereal packets line a shelf. He stands awkwardly as attendants finish filling in the grave. He walks away clutching a rolled-up Stars and Stripes flag. A van comes to a stop on a leafy street and the man gets out. He walks through a gate and up stone steps to a glass-paneled front door. The driver in the trilby eyes him anxiously, then drives off. There's a paper sign on the fridge door with a rotor on it. He crosses out the words, Dad's Chores, with a felt-tip pen, leaving just Adam's Chores. Still wearing his dark funeral suit, Adam picks up a broom and begins to sweep the living room. It's dark in the apartment, but he doesn't switch the lights on. He opens the folding doors to a large closet and carefully files the folded flag away on a shelf. A bedside lamp provides the only light in the room as Adam walks across and gets into bed. He switches out the light. Next day, he comes out of the front door and walks down the steps. Adam enters the bustling offices of Replay Incorporated, walking past the blonde on reception.
Morning, Adam.
Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning, Lulu.
Good morning, Adam. I don't know what to say.
Say anything.
Okay, Adam Reiki, the cutest guy in the office. How's that?
That's fine.
Morning, Adam.
Good morning, Mr. Cleaver.
Morning, Kelly.
Good morning.
Good morning, Adam.
How did she do that?
What?
How did she know it was me and then you talking?
Oh, voice recognition. I put in voice patterns from some people in the office and added Splice to the recognition system. Splice stands for stereo-based piecewise linear compensation for environments. It's an algorithm
Adam, did Chatty Patty have Splice? Did Big Mouth Billy Bass have Splice?
But you said I could make her sound like Kelly.
I said she could sound like Kelly. I didn't say to give her free will.
No, she doesn't have free will.
$5,000 at $100, not $5 at $1,000. Capiche?
Goodbye, Mr. Kleber.
Goodbye, Adam.
Adam frowns at the sound waves on his computer screen. There's a doll on his desk containing electronic components. Later, he arrives back home. He opens the freezer. Three boxes of macaroni cheese disappear from the shelf. Adam sits on his bed with his laptop and books. He carefully glues together delicate pieces of a plastic model. The freezer gradually empties of food. Adam opens his wardrobe and shoves his clothes into an already bulging washing bag. An astronaut suit hangs next to the closet. He sits at table eating macaroni and cheese.
All of which gives us the rare opportunity to explore the mysterious terrain that lies between fame and craft. Between the public persona and the private precious self.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Actors Studio is proud to welcome an actress we admire, Julia Roberts.
He stares down at his lap as he drops a morsel of food from his fork.
Perfect.
A young woman is struggling with a padlocked door. Adam comes downstairs with his laundry bag.
Is this open? I mean, to residence. Do you have a key?
Yes.
I just moved in. Beth Buckwell, 3A.
Adam, second floor, 2.
He immediately turns to leave.
You're not doing your laundry?
Oh, yeah.
It looks like a bit of an emergency.
She smiles, and he shuffles uncomfortably.
Would you mind letting me in?
Yeah, sure.
Thanks.
He reaches for his keys and opens the padlock. The brunette waits patiently.
I mean, I loved it downtown. It's my hood, but this place is bigger, and it's right around the corner from Wildwood.
Can you see the sky from the third floor?
I guess I would if the windows weren't covered in soot. Some nerve, right? Calling a school in the middle of Manhattan Wildwood. It's just temporary, actually. The job, not the name of the school. I'm a writer for children, so it's a good experience. What do you do?
I help make toys.
Oh, you're an elf?
No, I'm an electronic engineer.
Oh, you need a card for the wash.
No, I've got one.
Honey, I think I left mine upstairs in my packet. Could I borrow yours for now?
Okay.
He grins uncomfortably. She smiles, waiting for him to hand over the pass card. He gives it to her reluctantly, then leaves.
Thanks. Good work, Beth.
Adam's sitting on the apartment block steps with his laptop. Beth arrives home pulling a grocery trolley.
Hi, neighbor.
There are new images of Saturn from the Cassini project.
She's lost for a response and struggles up the steps with her heavy baggage.
God. I always wish I knew more about space.
You did? Like what?
I don't know. You know, what's out there.
You have to narrow that down.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Oh, well, I have books, telescopes, star charts. You can borrow some stuff. And we could go out look at sky tonight.
Maybe. Sometime. Sure.
Okay.
He grins happily.
Well, I'll just be hauling these enormous grocery bags upstairs now.
Okay.
Puzzled, as he ungallantly returns to his studies, she struggles on. He frowns as the trolley bumps into him. Beth walks into her sparsely furnished apartment, with boxes still waiting to be unpacked, thinks for a moment, then walks back out. Adam's still on the steps, staring at passers-by. Beth comes back out of the front door.
What are you doing?
Oh, people watching.
Anyone in particular?
Just people.
She's not sure how to continue the conversation, then sits down beside him.
Listen, I'm going out with some friends tonight, later, if you want to come.
Oh.
They're people, so you might want to watch them.
Uh-huh.
But if not, you know, that's fine.
No, I want to go, but I don't think I can.
Okay, if you're busy.
No.
I mean, it's not a date. It's just a little moving in celebration, you know?
When?
8? 8-ish?
Uh-huh.
Look, there's no pressure. I'll just knock on your door on my way out. And if you can, you can.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
He sits nervously, and his smile freezes as she goes back indoors. Later, Adam's sitting tensely on a chair in the corner of his living room as the clock ticks. He looks at his watch, then stands up and walks across the room. Adam sits stony-faced on his bed, then gets up. The clock shows 11 minutes past 8. He waits tensely as Beth's footsteps approach the front door. Adam tries to compose himself, rubbing his hands together fretfully, then leans with his back against the door.
Adam?
He laughs nervously and catches sight of himself in a mirror.
Adam!
As she walks away, he shudders with emotion. Then his face crumples as he starts to cry. He quickly brings himself under control, his face becoming a mask of calm. Later, Adam's sitting on the apartment stairs.
I'm sorry I didn't come out with your friends.
No problem.
I get kind of overloaded. I have something to show you.
Beth follows him to his apartment, unable to work him out.
Come in, come in.
Beth tentatively crosses the threshold, and Adam switches out the light.
Oh, my.
He's turned the room into a planetarium, with stars glowing on the ceiling.
You said you want to know more about space. Because it looks like this, people think of it as still, even though we know it's expanding. All parts of the universe are moving away from one another, most of them faster than the speed of light, except for...
I thought nothing went faster than the speed of light.
Right, right. Nothing goes through space faster, but space itself... you know about the Big Bang?
A little. In the beginning...
Inflation theory says the Big Bang came from as little as a 20-pound chunk of space about 14 billion years ago that expanded to the size of the universe in 10 to the minus 39 seconds.
10 to the minus 39?
A decimal point, 39 zeros, and then a 1. That's the fraction of a second in which the universe was formed. That's billions and billions of times faster than light.
Ooh, that's fast.
Yeah.
He flicks a switch, and more images flash onto the walls.
Wow.
These are all pictures of stars and galaxies that have been traveling away from us for hundreds of millions or billions of years. But that's still nearby compared to most of the universe that we'll never see.
Never?
Well, things that move apart faster than light can't ever see one another because the light from one never catches up to the other. After the Big Bang, the expansion of the universe slowed down, but... Then, after 7 billion years, for some reason, it speeded up again, and it's been speeding up ever since. Someday, everything you see here will disappear forever. And eventually, the night sky will be almost completely dark.
That's kind of sad.
Sad?
He stops himself, crosses the room, and switches the lights back on.
I've been talking too much, so...
No, it's fascinating.
I talk too much when I get excited.
No, really, it's amazing.
Well, I could tell you quickly about embryo theory.
Oh, no, it's okay, maybe next time.
Okay, it's very speculative.
I should go.
Good night, Beth.
Good night.
She shakes the hand he offers and turns to leave.
Thanks. I love your planetarium.
Oh, you're welcome.
He smiles happily and closes the door. Beth's at a restaurant with her dark-haired father.
Well, I could have waited, Daddy.
Not another day. I wanted you out of that rat trap for 5 years.
They were
years.
Nice.
But I was right, wasn't I? You love it.
It's okay. It's not like the village. I've only met one person so far.
It's new.
He did have a planetarium in his living room, though.
You were in someone's living room.
He's cute. He lives in the building.
Whatever happened to Rich Littman?
Not going there.
Now, what was the name of his company? Founders Fund? Okay. So, your neighbor's an astronomer?
No, he's an electronic engineer, whatever that means. But he hasn't even said hello to me since the first time. So
he's an idiot?
No, it's me. Didn't anyone tell you and Mom that only children are emotional retards, spoiled, too trusting, and unequipped to cope? What were you thinking?
That we had one perfect child.
She grins at him and gently shakes her head.
How's school?
We just started.
The course of civilization is a race between catastrophe and education. John F. Kennedy.
I know.
Now, if you marry an investment banker, you can do whatever you want.
Rich Littman is a dick, Daddy. Can we leave it at that?
Don't say dick to your father. No one's perfect, Bethy. That's all I'm saying.
He shrugs, then opens his menu.
But their sensor systems have detected an error in analyzing space for...
Adam, I'm having lunch. Speak English.
I'm sorry. See, the Star Tracker system is...
No more background radiation, black holes, or Mars robots. Lunchtime is for guy talk. Two guys talking about women, the weather, and such. You got it?
But the Star Tracker system
is
on
the...
Adam looks crestfallen. A woman walks past in a short skirt. Both men watch her.
A woman moved into 3A.
All right. Now that's lunch talk. So?
So that's all?
Well, no. A woman moved into 3A. She looked...
She looked nice.
Good. Good. You gonna meet her?
No, I did.
You did?
We did laundry. She came to my apartment.
She did?
And I told her something about space.
Oh, Jesus. How'd she take it?
She liked it.
She? Well, bless my stars. You gonna see her again?
I see her almost every day.
You talk to her again?
No.
Adam, you're the man. You have to start the conversation. Ask her out. Take her to dinner.
I can't do that.
This jackass locks himself out of his car, figures he can cuss me out on the phone. Well, you ought to be chilled by now.
Harlan.
Follow through, young man. Follow through.
In a ball cap carrying a coffee, Harlan walks off.
Are you and Mom still going to Barbados this year?
No, we're still deciding.
Oh, really?
There's a little problem that has to be dealt with.
Between you and Mom?
No, at the firm.
Oh.
There was an indictment last March.
There was an indictment of the firm?
No, of me, personally, no less. It's nothing. Some junior G-man playing Clarence Darrow. But there's a trial date now, January 19th.
A trial?
Yeah, so we have to work everything out before then. But bullshit, if you'll excuse the expression, expands the filthy a lot of times, so now Barbados is up in the air.
Beth stares at her father in disbelief.
Daddy!
Don't worry. But if you happen to come up with the next Harry Potter, we may need it to pay the Ghana lawyers. On Friday for dinner, right?
Yeah. I love you, Daddy.
Love you.
His taxi pulls away. Later, Beth's lying reading on her sofa. She puts down the document and looks around agitatedly. She picks her journal up off her desk and settles back down on the sofa to write. She looks expressionlessly towards the door.
Beth?
Adam! I'm so sorry. I just don't feel like any company tonight.
That's okay. Come out with me. I want to show you something. Beth?
She looks miserably at the ceiling, It's nighttime.
Adam, the park's closed.
Just a little bit further.
I want to go back. I'm not...
Shh. Over here.
Adam sits on a bench as Beth hovers restlessly.
Adam, I...
Shh.
Adam grins happily as a raccoon ambles out of the bushes. Beth stares as it snuffles around on the ground among the fallen leaves.
Raccoon in Central Park?
Adam nods and grins. Beth approaches the bench. Another raccoon joins the first, completely unperturbed by the humans.
That was so cool. What are they doing here?
Foraging.
How did you know where they'd be?
They live here. I used to come and watch them a lot. It's quiet. They don't really belong here, you know, but... Here they are. They're coming back around in a little while. You want to wait?
Yeah, sure.
Beth sits down next to him. Cup of coffee in hand, Beth opens her apartment door and spots two pieces of paper on her doormat. One reads, I know you're up past your normal time. Also, the new laundry card is because I should have brought something to put on the bench. Signed, Adam. Beth smiles. Adam peers through a magnifying glass to clean the tiny components on a circuit board. His boss touches him on the shoulder. He flinches.
Where? Oh, Mr. Cleaver.
Yes, that's all right. I startled you.
Yes.
I just wanted to tell you what a good job you've done for us the last year and a half.
Well, that's good.
When your father explained your... You know, when he explained your... things... Well, I had my doubts, but he was right. A man of your background at the salary you're getting has been of value to this company.
Well, that's good.
Yes, but the world is changing. You can't be the corner candy store anymore. You've got to compete.
Candy store?
5,000 at 100, not 5 at 1,000. Adam, I've got to let you go. But I will write you a recommendation that will knock your socks off.
Let me go?
I'm truly sorry.
No, but I don't want to go.
Wait, hold on.
But I haven't finished. I still
have
to...
Adam. It's done.
On a better chip?
Not better. Cheaper. Look, go home. Talk it over with your dad. I'm sure he'll find you another job before you know it. Kelly has your severance. It's been a pleasure working with you. And I mean that sincerely. Goodbye, Adam.
Goodbye, Mr. Cleaver.
Adam stands completely stunned. People stare as he leaves the office.
Dude, sorry about that. Think about it, bro. Come on, man. I promise.
Carrying his belongings in a box, he flinches as colleagues pat him supportively on the back.
I'm so sorry, Adam. See you around, okay?
Pausing at the door, Adam looks back at the office in a daze. People are carrying on completely as normal. He steps onto the street and lurches off down the road. He flinches repeatedly as he brushes past other pedestrians. He pauses on the pavement, thinking, then crosses the road. He arrives at Wildwood School. Still clutching his box, he walks slowly through the playground. He stops at a metal gate and watches the children playing. Adam's face is a mask of sadness as he watches the children chase and play ball. He heaves a deep sigh. A police car drives into the school and approaches Adam.
Excuse me, sir. What are you doing there? I said, what you doing?
watching the children.
Uh-huh. Let me have some ID, sir.
I was looking at the children.
Sir, turn around. Put your hands on the fence, please.
Why are you doing this?
Lean forward. Put your hands on the fence, please. Turn around. Hands on the fence.
What are you doing?
I'm taking your wallet out of your back pocket to check your identification, sir.
15 Adam Central K. I need a name check. Adam, Ricky, Robert, Adam.
Is this the man you reported?
I wasn't the one who saw him.
Where do you live, sir? Please stay where you are. Do you live or do you have business in this neighborhood, sir?
Everything's fine. Going back inside.
Beth?
Are you the one who reported this? Adam,
what's going on?
You know this man?
Yeah, he's my neighbor. What happened?
15 Adam, Reiki, R-A-K-I, no hits.
He's clean.
All right. Sorry about that. Can't be too careful with kids, right? You can go.
Scared and confused, Adam picks up his briefcase and hurries away.
Adam!
She stares after him. Later, Adam looks in the mirror, then headbutts the glass in frustration. She's got the box from work.
Enough with the presents, okay?
Well, that was kind of awful, wasn't it? I mean, God, you just stop by to watch the kids. I do that for a living.
Expressionlessly, he takes the box from her.
Please freak me out, too,
okay? Do you want to come in?
Okay.
She steps into the apartment, and he closes the door. They sit at opposite ends of the sofa.
So you live alone?
Yes.
I mean, it's big for one person. For the city.
Well, my father lived here, too.
Oh, where is he now?
Queens.
Queens?
Oh, he died 6 weeks ago.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
My friend Harlan says Queens is where everybody goes to die because they can't tell the difference.
It's awful.
Harlan said it was a joke.
Oh, I meant about your father. What about your mother?
She died when I was 8.
I'm so sorry. I had a really nice time last night in the park.
Were you excited?
What?
Sexually, when we were in the park.
No, not exactly.
Well, I asked because I was, and I wondered if you were too.
Thank you so much for the glass of water. I should be going now.
Because I said that thing about being sexually excited?
No. I just... Well... Yeah.
Oh, sometimes it's hard for me to, I have this thing that makes it hard to, it's called Asperger's syndrome.
Oh.
Beth stares as she understands. Adam looks steadily at her.
One thing about it is not knowing what people are thinking. Like right now.
Oh, right. I guess I was wondering what that feels like for you.
Well, it doesn't feel like anything. It just is.
Okay.
My brain works differently from NTs.
NTs?
Neurotypicals. Sometimes I can't understand them, especially when they mean something different from what they're actually saying.
You don't do that?
Most Aspies are really honest. Psychologists think it's a lack of imagination, but psychologists are mostly NTs. Albert Einstein, Thomas Jefferson, Mozart, they all had lots of imagination.
They had Asperger's?
Probably. When I was younger, I would have just thought you were sexually excited because I was. That's called mind blindness. I had to learn to ask what other people are thinking.
I understand. It's okay. I really should go.
Okay.
I'm really sorry about your father.
Can I see you again?
I'm right upstairs, so.
Great, okay. I'll see you.
Her smile freezes as he closes the door. Beth walks down a corridor at school. She peers into a classroom, then approaches an office.
Do you have a minute?
Okay, Beth, sure, come on in.
Thank you.
Oh, you think it's a bad sign when the description of a school bores its director?
What do you know about Asperger's syndrome?
Oh. Well, it's a developmental disorder, kind of a high-functioning autism.
What does that mean, exactly?
Well, there's a broad range. It could be hard to tell. It could be severe social interaction problems.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I should get in on this, interview the child, and we can get some...
Oh, no, it's my neighbor. He has it. But he's really, really sweet and kind of interesting.
And sometimes it can be quite brilliant. It is on the autism spectrum. Oh, you know, actually, I think I have a... This is a first-person account pretending to be normal.
Oh, no, it's not serious. Thank you.
Okay. Sure. Oh, Beth, would you just take a look at this for me, please?
Sure. So you're saying, really, that he's not prime relationship material, right? Not really.
Let's go.
Thanks.
So, subtracting your father's liabilities, credit card debt, funeral costs, fees, etc., from his assets reduces the estate roughly $25,000. And he bequeathed $5,000 to the Kids at Risk Music Fund. $10,000 to you, Mr. Keyes.
Oh.
So, as his primary beneficiary, Adam, you inherit the remainder. That would be the death benefit from Juilliard and the funds from the TIAA retirement plan. Also, there's approximately $300,000 worth of equity in the apartment. So, assuming you sell after closing fees and taxes, etc., we presumed that you'd be moving to a smaller place.
Move?
Well, without your father's income, the mortgage payments are...
I don't want to move.
Easy.
Think of it as an opportunity. You might want to try a different city.
Mr. Wardlaw, Adam has never been out of the city alone in his life.
Well, closer to home, then. With the income from your job...
I don't have a job. I was fired from my job.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, that makes the equity in the apartment even more valuable.
Changes like this are hard.
It's my house. I won't sell
Adam,
my house.
Mr. Reiki, I...
Go away! You're hurting my ears! And I'm not going to sell my house! I'm not selling my house!
Cross your arms over your chest.
Adam, shaking, fights for control.
Mr. Wardlaw, are we done?
There are papers to be signed.
Can you send them?
They need to be noted. Yes. We can do that.
Come on, Adam, let's go.
I can't move.
All right, come on.
The lawyer stares as Harlan escorts Adam out.
You're not 10 years old anymore. You need a job.
I'm fired.
So what? You know how many times I've been fired?
When your dad and I came back from the service,
I might as well have had a 3-day week. Day one, I hate the freaking job. Day two, I hate the freaking boss. Day three, I hit someone, and I gotta start all over.
I didn't hit anyone. I never hit anyone.
Adam, you're 29 years old, and you can't pay your mortgage without finding a job. So what are you gonna do?
Adam sets his jaw, rocking anxiously. Beth's in the school office, sitting in a chair, reading a book. She looks at the cover. The title is Pretending to be Normal. Adam's looking at a jobs website on his laptop. Beth leaves the apartment block and heads off down the street. Adam finishes typing up his CV on the job site and sits back in his chair. He closes his eyes, trying to relax.
Hey, Bessie Boo, just want to make sure you got home okay. You home okay? Call us.
Beth, are you there? Look, maybe the whole point was for me to find out what an amazing thing we have. You're not really going to throw this away.
Beth takes off her coat and dumps it on the sofa, then heads for the window. A ghostly shape is dangling in midair outside. It's Adam hanging by a rope wearing his father's astronaut suit. Beth gawps at him, then opens the window.
Adam? What? Get in here!
Adam clumsily swings in through the window from the night air. After catching his breath, he picks up the window mop he was clutching and walks out.
Wait, what? What in the world were you doing out there? You could have been killed. How are you going to get down?
Climb up.
Climb?
It's rated for 3,000 pounds. You said you couldn't see out of your windows. Why did you scream like that?
Because I walked into my apartment and there was a strange man in my window.
It was me!
I didn't know that!
She shrugs, grinning. He smiles, but looks confused, and walks back towards the window. He stops and examines his handiwork.
Oh. Guess not.
Thank you for trying to...
You're welcome.
Would you like some tea?
Sure.
Okay.
Harlan said I should send out application letters and worry about the interviews later.
Interviews?
Interviews usually don't go very well.
But you put in some applications?
87.
87?
Mm-hmm. Oh, applications and letters of inquiry.
You applied for 87 jobs?
But including the letters of inquiry.
Today?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Wow?
I mean, that's a lot.
Oh, I don't want to move.
Yeah.
Impressed, she sips her tea.
This is very good smelling tea.
English breakfast. My father calls it coffee without the bad breath.
They sit apart, sipping their tea. Beth gets up, goes into the kitchen and takes a packet out of a cupboard. Adam sits clutching his mug, not sure what to do.
Maybe I should go.
I'm sorry. I'm just...
Sorry, you're...
A little upset.
Oh.
He sits, then gets up again awkwardly.
My father's an accountant and he's been accused of doing something illegal.
Oh, did he do it?
No, but tonight he said it looks like he will probably have to go on trial. And I know your father just passed away, so I shouldn't even...
She rubs her eye wearily, then looks around in frustration as he just stands, not moving in front of her.
I can see that you're upset, but... I don't know what to do.
She looks him in the eye and walks towards him.
Could you give me a hug?
Yes.
Adam, I'd like you to give me a hug.
With a wide grin, he walks towards her and enfolds her in his space-suited arms. Beth's reading a story at school.
But he's naked, cried a little boy. All the people whispered among each other. He's naked. There's a little boy who says the king is naked.
The king shivered, for he was sure that the boy was right, but he thought, I must bear it until the procession is over. And he walked even more proudly all the way back to the palace. So, what do we think?
He was naked. He ran around the whole town naked.
Yes. Okay, he was naked. Anything else?
The little boy was bad.
Really? Why do you say that, Stephanie?
Because he told.
That's dumb.
Bruce.
But he was naked.
Don't you think the king needed to know that he was naked?
Well, he didn't have to yell it out. He could have just gone over to him and whispered it in his ear.
Everybody else was just lying, so nobody'd think they were stupid. And because they were afraid of seeing King Sweeney. I like the boy.
Beth thinks about this for a moment.
I do, too.
At a themed restaurant, Adam's standing shyly in a corner. A man in a grotesque mask with a long, curved nose stares at Adam, then moves away. Another grimacing mask looms out of the crowd. Beth, also wearing a mask, smiles as she approaches Adam with some drinks.
Maybe we should go.
Our table's next. Can't eat macaroni and cheese every night.
Why not?
Because it's a meager life. Lacks stimulation. Thanks for coming. I know it's hard.
Okay.
He grins, then glances around nervously. In the bustling restaurant, Adam is not so much reading as hiding behind his menu. He glances out furtively.
Better, right?
Hello, I'm Rom, with an M. I see you have drinks. Would you like a wine list, or may I describe the specials?
It's all right. We know what we'd like. We'll take two tricolored salads, one grilled salmon on lentils with roasted potatoes, and a penne alfredo. And Rom?
It's Rama.
Sorry, Rom. Could we get that all to go?
Adam looks shocked. The waiter, with a fake knife through his head, removes the menus, and Adam breaks into a smile. Beth grins back. They sit on the park bench and open their takeaways.
It's macaroni and cheese.
When in Rome.
What?
How's the job hunt going?
A lot of them were already taken. I'm still getting responses, though.
I'm sure the right thing will come along.
How can you be sure of that?
I mean, I hope the right thing comes along.
Adam understands and nods, munching his macaroni.
My dad and I came out here to watch Hale Bopp for 5 nights in a row. Voyager 2 will pass within 4.3 light years of Sirius, the dog star, in approximately 196,000 years.
I brought you something.
She holds out a gift-wrapped package.
Are there supposed to be presents?
No. It was just a spur-of-the-moment kind of thing.
He nods and smiles. Adam unwraps the gift, which is a paperback book.
How to find work that works for people with Asperger.
He stares expressionlessly at the book's cover.
I thought it might be helpful. Are you offended?
No.
Because I was just trying to help.
For an answer, he leans over and kisses her. He breaks away from her, thinks for a moment, then kisses Beth again. They kiss with the towering nighttime lights of New York before them. They sit uncomfortably. Beth gives a tight smile. Later, they're lying in bed, fully clothed.
Try to be careful. I had my heart broken by a big jerk recently. I need time to take things slowly.
What did he do?
While we were together, he slept with other women.
Adam stares blankly.
Not together, together, but while we were in the relationship.
Oh.
So, I need to take things slowly.
No sex.
Right.
Kissing.
Yes.
Holding.
Yes.
No sex.
Is that all right?
He looks her in the eye, smiles, and nods.
Yes.
Beth puts her arm around him, and he clumsily does the same.
It's only been a month. How long it should be before you meet Adam is not written in scripture, Daddy. You made that up.
She's in the classroom with her teaching assistant.
Don't worry about me. I'm fine. Has there been any more news on the court? Okay. Okay, sure. I will. I'll tell him. Okay. Love you, Daddy. Bye. You can stay for an hour. You might even have fun.
I'd have fun at home.
It's not the gates of hell, Adam. It's my friends.
They walk down a corridor decked with fairy lights.
You look great. You've got to meet the baby. Her name is Lin Yao, which means beautiful jade treasure. That's beautiful. Don't you think? I mean, really, she is young enough. We could call her anything.
Her name is Lin Yao.
That's what I said.
Well, that's who she was when we got her.
Yeah.
I know. Look at her.
Yeah, she is. We have a video, of course. Would you like to see the video?
No, thank you. Where's the bathroom?
Down the hall, second right.
Adam's completely unmoved as Beth glares at him and her friends stare.
I'd love to see the video.
Oh, so now you're an expert.
Oh, come on. Tori, you don't have to know a lot about Islam to understand hunger or anger or desperation.
You don't understand who these people are, how they think.
I don't understand people from New Jersey.
Look, either you believe that human beings share some basic similarities or you just throw the towel in.
Buying a telescope is a complicated decision. You should focus on your interests.
No pun intended.
What?
Focus?
Right. Are you interested in the solar system, moon, planets, etc., or deeper space, nebulae, star clusters, galaxies? Then you want a much larger lens with a Dobsonian mount. The APO refractors go up to 180 millimeters.
Hi, Adam.
Hi. Michael's looking for a telescope to buy for her cottage in Kerhonkson. For deep space in a static position, you could really think about some bigger reflectors. Have you heard too much about telescopes?
No. No, it just some of what you're saying is going right over my head.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll start over. Three basic considerations. Kind of lens.
Come say goodbye to Robin and Jen with me.
All right.
Thank you for the information.
Oh, you're welcome. It's a very big decision.
Nice to meet you, Michael.
And you.
Michael watches them go with a bemused smile. Later, they're in bed.
I remember the other kids chattering away before school or at parties, whispering to one another, and I always wonder what they were talking about. It looks so easy. One and the other. Laugh, laugh, laugh. New topic, start again. I started outlining my new book. Really excited.
That's good.
You're going to be the first person I thank in my Newbery Award speech. It's an award for children's
books. No, I know what a Newbery Award is.
She's giving him a back rub.
Are you still going to make them talk?
Mm-hmm. They're going to be a typical New York family, except they live in the park and they're raccoons. Okay, your turn.
She lies down, and Adam gets up to rub her back.
I think the father's going to be in advertising.
Instead of making stuff up, why couldn't you write about the real raccoons?
Because it's a children's book, not a nature book.
Well, I probably like the nature book better.
Yeah, you probably would.
He stares down at her, and stops massaging her shoulders. Beth rolls over and looks up at him.
I didn't mean...
He stares at her stonily. She takes his hand in hers and kisses it.
This is what I meant.
She places his hand on her breast under her sweater. His jaw drops in surprise.
Do you want sex?
I think I do.
You said you needed time.
Well, then take it very, very slowly.
His mouth widens into a broad smile. Adam walks into his kitchen and takes a cereal packet out of a cupboard. He sits in his usual place at the dining table, but now Beth is next to him. She sketches him in her journal as they sit on the sofa, he with his laptop. Beth grins as Adam glances at her and frowns. He thinks for a moment, then his frown changes to a smile. There's a photo of Beth pouting sexily in his closet. He hangs up a shirt and stares at the picture. Beth's over on the bed, striking the same pose as in the photo and grinning mischievously. Adam frowns at her, puzzled, and she beckons him over provocatively.
This isn't fair.
What's fair? It's a small manipulation. Why, you aren't curious?
Of course, but if he isn't ready to meet us...
Yeah, well, sometimes you gotta give ready a little push.
Beth!
Honey!
Daddy! Mom! What are you doing here?
Oh, we're seeing the play.
But I thought you...
What?
Hi, honey. I thought we had your tickets.
No, we were going with the Pierces and they couldn't make it. Come on, we're not ogres. At least Becky isn't. This is Beth's mother, Rebecca. I'm Marty. Oh. Heard so much about you.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Lovely to meet you, Adam.
Thank you. Me and my little girl, we are thick as thieves. Hi, sweetie. I just couldn't wait any longer.
We rarely go off-Broadway. I didn't even know this theater still existed.
Oh, the Cherry Lane Theater is the oldest continuously running theater off-Broadway. It was converted from a box factory in 1924, and then in the 20s and 30s and 40s, it presented the work of writers such as F. Scott Fitzgerald, John Dos Passos, Eugene O'Neill.
I used to bone up on conversation topics, too, when I had a date.
Yes, back from 1951 to 1953, Julian Beck and Judith Malina's Living Theater was based here. In 1952, Judith Malina chased a fire marshal down the street with a spear from her production of Ouvrois. Endgame by Samuel Beckett had its American premiere here in 1957, followed by other new works such as Happy Days, also by Beckett in 1962, Dutchman in 1964 by Leroy Jones, The Happy Journey to Trenton and Camden by Thornton Wilder in 1960. But that's enough about the Cherry Lane Theater.
What about the 70s?
Well, in 1971, Godspell opened.
Adam, and Daddy's joking.
Oh. I'm sorry. Oh.
No, history is always very interesting.
Please take your seats.
Come on, in we go.
Shall we?
Adam glances at Beth for approval and then escorts her mother into the auditorium. Her dad smiles and puts his arm around Beth. Once seated, Adam concentrates on reading the program.
Oh, they're dying to go to trial. We'll get the pictures in the paper. It's written all over them.
What does Mr. Barenbaum say?
He's a lawyer. He's paid to worry. Bottom line, if the feds push this all the way to trial, we settle, right?
He's sure they'll settle.
That's why you don't have to be there.
He said it would help if we showed our support.
You had to tell her that.
Your father's right. You have work.
Mom, I'm covered at work. I'm coming. I need to be there for you.
What are you accused of, Mr. Buchwald?
Marty turns and stares at Adam, then shoots Beth a glance of surprise.
I'm accused of trying to help a friend. That's what I'm accused of. Beth's Uncle Eric.
Eric Cooper.
Made his daughter Jennifer CFO of his company.
But she's qualified, right? I mean, she went to Wharton.
Yes, she's qualified.
Uncle Eric's not really my uncle. He's an old friend of Daddy's, and Jennifer is his daughter.
She's young. She made a few mistakes. I carried them over from 1 year to the next, made her look a little better, even to her own father. It wasn't even a hard call to make, but now they all think they've uncovered Enron.
Could you go to jail?
Adam?
No. I'm glad you asked. Bethy, I'm not going anywhere. Any more questions, Mr. Prosecutor?
No.
See, he fits right in.
You put him on the spot, confronted him, pushed him.
I didn't understand what he was saying.
Well, maybe that's not his fault. Monday he goes on trial. In case you didn't get that, you don't talk about going to jail.
It seemed like the important thing.
The important thing? All of a sudden you know what's important? You can't say two words on how you feel about anything, but you know what's important to my family.
You know,
my father's not some criminal, okay?
Okay.
Just forget it.
Beth?
I'm going home. Please, don't follow me.
Adam stops on the pavement, not sure what to do next, and looks around, confused. He receives a mail on his laptop from a company called Halloran, inviting him to an interview. He looks up from the computer and goes to answer the door. It's Beth in her hat and coat, looking miserable.
May I come in? I'm sorry.
She hands him a box.
Some chocolate.
I'm not Forrest Gump, you know.
Of course not. I didn't eat... Was that a joke? Are you joking?
I can't joke.
I'm sorry. I took it out on you. I'm just scared for my father.
He smiles and walks away from her.
You can apologize too, you know?
Well, you said it was your fault. I got an interview.
You did?
Halloran Industries, research and engineering for space communication and exploration.
Adam, that's perfect! Break out the chocolate. Let's go get some champagne.
Well, no, it's just an interview.
There's a saying in my family, it's never too early to drink the champagne.
He frowns as she leaves to get the wine. Looking uncertain, he follows her out of the apartment. Later, he stands behind a goal as Beth kicks cans into it.
You'd be good at the job, right? So... all you gotta do is let him know it.
That's all? That's impossible.
When is it?
It's February 3rd, 17 days.
Right, so that's how long you got. You gotta learn it during the day, and then I'll help you at night.
They'll think I'm a freak.
Fine. Whatever you say.
She's tipsy on champagne.
Beth? Beth?
He runs across the frosty pitch to her, and they play football with a can. New York skyscrapers loom at the edge of Central Park, lit by a chilly winter sun. A judge is looking through papers in a courtroom.
In most interview situations, the greeting is done in the standing position. Simple greeting. Hello, nice to meet you. Basic greeting. Hello, my name is Jason. Nice to meet you.
Mr. Buchwald, how do you plead?
Not guilty, Your Honor.
Involved greeting. Hello, you must be Miss Austin. My name is Jason. Nice to meet you.
Mr. Reiki?
Adam jumps to his feet as Beth enters with her hair tied back severely, wearing a pair of glasses.
I'm Elizabeth Buchwald. I'll be interviewing you for the job we discussed over the phone.
Phone?
Nice to meet you.
Right.
Eyes. Please, step into my office.
Make it a goal of your interview to mention each of your strengths at least once.
Items listed as assets are really expenses. Cover it up in order to increase the earnings statement of the company.
Beth's dad listens to his lawyer and looks surprised at what he's told. Adam and Beth are in a shop buying him a suit.
Eye contact. One way to get around the poor eye contact dilemma is to have the candidate look at the interviewer's forehead. Practice is needed, however, because it will still require an effort to remember to look at a forehead.
Beth and Adam stare solemnly in a mirror at his new suit, then break into smiles. Later, they're in bed.
Beth?
No.
Just once more, please.
Adam, can't you think about anyone but yourself, even for a minute? I'm sorry.
No.
Okay. Tell me something about your previous work experience, Mr. Reiki.
At your last job, how much of the work did you perform independently? How much as a team?
Now, you've testified that your relationship with the Cooper family is personal as well as professional, isn't that right?
Yes. Eric Cooper and I have been associated for over 30 years. He has become a close friend. But that doesn't mean...
Would you tell the court a little about your relationship with Jennifer Cooper?
She's a wonderful young woman. I've known her whole life.
Isn't it true that you'd be eager to help Jennifer with any problem she was having?
Yes.
Out of your affection for the family, of course.
Sure.
Now, Mr. Buckwald, would you feel compelled to help Jennifer to preserve your own reputation?
No.
Did you have an affair with Miss Cooper in 2001?
Objection, Your Honor.
Mr. Buckwald, open the door, Your Honor.
I understand the evidence, Counselor. Overruled. Please answer the question.
Yes. Briefly.
So Jennifer had every reason to believe that you would help her with this problem.
That had nothing. The one had nothing to do with the other. Nothing.
Beth and her mother sit open-mouthed in shock. The winter sun shines down on the leafless trees of snowy Central Park.
Somehow, I'm leading someone else's life.
Beth walks alone.
Cut her start
down one of the park's wide boulevards.
With my knife. Still see the way the moon.
Beth and Adam sit on armchairs opposite one another in evening lamplight.
Plays this tune, though our nights died.
They talk, leaning towards one another glumly. Beth rests her chin on her hand.
My hands shake.
Adam copies her.
My knees quake. It's every day.
Beth sits back and crosses her legs. Adam does the same.
Same way. Then came you, then as you, I keep your picture in my worn-through shoes. When there's you, then came you.
They stare at each other.
When I'm lost,
Beth uncrosses her legs.
Look at my picture.
And so does Adam. She leans forward. So does he. Beth hangs her head. Adam watches for a moment, then copies the movement.
I'll make tonight our own.
He scratches his head.
Show you every way I've grown since I met you.
Beth's crying.
And right now, I'll be the boy in your next song. I'll learn.
Wearing his new dark suit, Adam crosses the street to a large grey headquarters building for his interview. He approaches the white marble reception desk. Meanwhile, the court is in session.
My hands shake.
All right.
My knees quake.
Beth's father stands solemnly. His wife stands and watches from the public seats.
Every day. Same way.
Adam sits and waits on a plain sofa in the sterile reception area.
Then there's you.
Mr. Reiki.
Hello, you must be Doug Brendel. I'm Adam Reiki. Pleased to meet you.
Come in.
Adam makes eye contact with an easy smile.
Keep your picture in my one-through shoes.
Later, Adam's lying on his sofa, still wearing the suit.
I see.
Beth?
Adam, is Beth there?
No, she isn't.
Marty pled guilty. There's some discretion in sentencing. The hearing is tomorrow. We
may have to make statements, but she isn't answering her cell.
I called the school, but she wasn't there. Do you know when she'll be home?
No, I thought I was waiting.
Adam, please, can you check her calendar?
See if there's anywhere I can reach her.
Okay.
Adam goes over to the table and opens Beth's journal. He flicks through the book, then stops and stares.
Never mind, Marty's coming. I have to go.
They're keeping him overnight. Tell her to call me. Tell her to call me right away.
Beth's mum hurries off. Adam's staring at a page that says 8 p.m. Cherry Lane Theatre. Meet Mum and Dad with Adam. He hangs up the phone, and Beth arrives home.
Adam! I've been thinking about you all afternoon. How did it go? I forgot my phone. How did the interview go?
He just stares at the journal.
Okay, you're right.
Right?
My father and I arranged for us to meet.
You arranged?
I knew they were going to be at the theater. They really wanted to meet you. Now, will you please tell me what happened?
You lied?
A little.
Fooled you, dumb Adam! Dumb, dumb, dumb! Dumb, 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 dumb! Dumb, dumb, dumb Adam!
Adam, I didn't... I'm sorry. Adam, please just calm down.
No, I hate you. I hate you. I hope your father goes to jail forever. I hate you.
What?
He's guilty. Your mother called, and he's a liar like you, and he's going to jail. I hate you.
Your child, Adam. Fuck Asperger's, you're a fucking child.
Adam smacks himself in the head, shakes his fists in angry frustration, then rushes after Beth.
Liar!
A train rolls through the countryside in evening twilight. Beth's sitting with her mother at her parents' large white-timbered house.
A long time ago, when I told Grandpa Morris that I wanted to get married, he said Marty was great, but that he was an Engels guy.
What does that mean?
That he was a guy who plays the angles in business, love. He even said he might wind up in jail someday. And I told him he didn't understand Marty, and that even if he ended up in jail for life, I would never regret marrying him. And I don't.
Beth stares unhappily at her mother.
We have to help him now, Beth. Tell the judge who your father is in your life. Who he's always been. Whatever bad decisions he's made.
Okay.
Beth gives her mother a hug.
Okay, Mom.
Beth continues to hold her mother, her face devoid of expression. The court is back in session. Her father looks around from his table with the lawyer as Beth and her mother enter down the court's central aisle. Beth approaches a lectern, facing the judge's bench.
I read the planets are lined up across the sky like they haven't been in 30,000 years. You didn't get the job you were going for?
No.
That why you so down? Hell, I lost more jobs.
No, Beth and I broke up.
Oh.
She lied. She lied, and I found out about it. I can't trust her anymore.
These all seem fine. Now, before I went into the service, I met a girl who made me a promise. When I came back, she was right there waiting for me. But I found out she hadn't quite kept the promise, so I put some things in a bag and I left. Never spoke to her again. Though sometimes the wanting to was like a live animal clawing at my chest from the inside. 35 years. She's the only picture in my head can still stop me in broad daylight and make me curse myself for a stubborn old fool. It's not rocket science. I'm saying you need to talk to the girl one more time. That's all.
No, I don't know.
Liars is all you're going to run across in this world. A man has got to learn the difference between just plain liars and liars worth loving.
Harlan, if you called that girl, couldn't you stop cursing yourself for a stubborn old fool, even if you still had to be old?
A grin slowly spreads across Harlan's face.
Be seated.
Marty sits with his eyes downcast.
This court sentences you to a prison term of 5 years, 24 months to be served in a federal corrections institute, followed by 3 years of mandatory probation. As per your plea agreement, you'll have 1 week to settle your affairs. Report to the corrections department Monday, February 9th at 9 a.m. Adjourned.
Beth's eyes fill with tears as she stares in disbelief. Later, Adam arrives home with groceries.
You have one new message.
Adam, this is Rebecca. Marty was sentenced to 2 years in prison today. Of course, we're all very upset, but... Beth... Anyway, we're going home to Westchester. 211 Richmond Road, Bedford Hills. You have the number. I thought you should know where she is.
For months, all they wanted was for me to give them Eric Cooper. Otelek Rakhil Barmecha. Do not go about as a talebearer amongst your people.
At least I don't have to pack, right, Becky? We always pack too much. This time, just a toothbrush.
Marty smiles confidently at his wife.
Excuse me.
He approaches Beth, who's standing in the doorway.
Let's talk for a minute.
It's snowing as Adam leaves the apartment building, struggling with the hood of his winter coat. Marty sits down next to Beth.
Oh, Bethy, Bethy. Your mother's gonna need your help.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, there are things you do, there are things you have to do. You make your choices, you live with them. You and your mother will never want for anything. I made arrangements. In 2 years, I'll be back home, and this will all be over. One more thing about Adam. He's not for you. It's not his fault, but he's more like your child than anything else. He'll never be the kind of man that you can admire, that you can look up to. And it's not fair that he should hope for something that's impossible.
Adam approaches Grand Central Station.
People with Asperger's get married. They have families.
Married? He lives in another world. You don't need to make that kind of compromise, Beth. You know this is the best thing. You do know that, Bethany.
She shrugs away from him as he reaches out to her. Adam walks down steps to a snowy pavement.
Something is said, it sits in my head.
He looks around, not sure where to go in the snowy darkness.
It's killing me slow. It's rolling around. It's pushing.
Beth's mother is playing the piano, and Beth is reading at the dining room table, lit by a chandelier. Her father's also reading, sitting on the living room sofa.
Can't you see when I...
Adam presses on through the snow.
I'll find me, oh, I need you to know today. I'll wait for you always, oh.
Adam clutches a piece of paper as he walks through the snow, which is falling more heavily, lying thickly on the ground.
I'll find you.
Adam trudges on. As the book vaults sit quietly, Beth glances at her mother as she sketches her in her journal. Adam looks up at a road sign.
Can't you see that when I find
He walks unsteadily down the middle of the road. He stops and looks around, scanning the houses.
Beth? Beth Buchwald!
Beth gets up and looks out of the window. She hurries out past her startled mother.
I'll get him!
Beth!
She stares at him from the lamplit porch of the house. They walk towards one another.
We have to talk again.
You scared me. I thought you were going to hit me.
I would never, ever do that. The job was gone. They hired someone for the job. But they have another one in an observatory, and they said I was just what they needed. It starts in April, but it's in Flint Ridge, California. I want you to come with me. I could work, and you could write, and you wouldn't have to teach anymore. Hello, Mr. Buchwald. I can't... Oh, I'm sorry you have to go to prison. I came to ask Beth to come to California with me. I'd be engineering microchips for satellite guidance systems. I have a job in Flint Ridge, California.
That's fine. Congratulations, Adam. But Beth won't be able to go with you.
What?
The family needs her. She's needed here.
I need her. I can't go without her.
Well, I'm sorry, Adam, but she can't go.
No. You can't do that.
Bethy.
You can't speak for me.
We agree.
You don't make my decision.
We're standing in the middle of the
I don't care.
Calm down.
You have choices, you liar, cheater. Nothing will ever be the same. Nothing. I'm going now.
No, you are not. Don't go. You can't.
Let go of me.
Get off of me.
Adam.
No. God.
Adam pulls Marty to the ground.
Adam.
Beth's mother comes out of the house.
You're coming to California?
No, I mean home to the city.
You're not coming to California?
Maybe. I don't know. I'll think about it.
Okay.
Mom, I'm going to take the car. I'll leave it at the station.
Beth, come back here.
Rebecca Buchwald grins at Adam and Beth, then shoots her husband an angry look before going back indoors. Marty watches helplessly as Adam and Beth drive away in the family's 4x4, then turns and trudges back to the house. Light pours into Adam's apartment through net curtains. Beth sits sadly on a chair which is covered with a dust sheet. Adam comes in with a suitcase.
It didn't go well?
She shakes her head absently.
What did he say?
He wouldn't even see me. I waited in the visiting room for an hour. Finally, a guard came and told me that he wasn't coming out.
Your mother said he wasn't ready.
I thought if I actually went, I didn't think that he wouldn't even see me.
What are you gonna do?
What do you mean? We're going, right? We're getting on a plane tomorrow and going to California.
You should pack. You haven't packed at all.
Give me a minute, okay? Just leave me alone for a while.
He dithers for a moment, then walks out. Beth watches him go, then sits deep in thought. Later, at night, Adam's on the roof with his metal suitcase, looking through a telescope. Thank you.
I'm not sure. I mean, I should be sure, shouldn't I?
Do you know what you want?
We'll never have a moment where we look into each other's eyes and know exactly what the other person's feeling. The idea of that wouldn't even make sense to him. He's never told me that he loves me. I don't know what it would mean to him if he did.
Yes, feeling loved is very important, but loving, my precious girl, that's the necessity.
Adam comes into the darkened flat.
Mom, I gotta go. I'll talk to you tomorrow, okay?
I love you, Beth.
She smiles at him in the darkness.
Adam, why do you want me to go to California with you?
What? What do you mean?
Why do you want me to go?
You are like a part of me. And I need you to find a place to live and to learn how to get to work and to understand what it means when people say crazy stuff. I couldn't go without you.
Beth looks at him, then lowers her gaze, staring sadly at the floor.
I'm sorry. I can't go. If you want me to go because you can't go without me, I can't go.
She reaches up and places her hands on his cheeks, then releases him and walks away. His eyes brim with tears. Adam sits and eats on packing cases placed where the dining room table was. He picks up his aluminium suitcase and walks out of the living room. In the bedroom, he takes things out of a bag, placing them on the bed. He sits with his back to the front door, shaking violently, trying to get control of himself. In the darkness, he watches a view of space with shooting stars on his laptop. A galaxy of a cloud of stars drifts slowly across the screen. Another spiral galaxy of a myriad stars has a bright sun at its center. Adam closes the laptop decisively and pops it in a bag. With his luggage, he leaves the apartment. Harlan comes up the apartment steps to meet Adam.
Are you sure about this?
I have to go alone.
Adam struggles with a heavy bag. Harlan takes the suitcase.
Hey, I want you to know I made that call.
Harlan opens the back doors of his van.
It took me a while to find it. But we're going to meet up. The woman's even more stubborn than I am.
Well,
I'm just trying to say thank you, damn it.
Oh, you're welcome, Harlan.
Harlan frowns in frustration as Adam closes the van door. They get into the front of the van and drive away. Sun shines on the hills and mountains of California. The observatory stands on a high, wooded peak. The title reads, 1 year later.
Actually, the best image resolution is achieved by multiple smaller telescopes called interferometers. Combine light waves collected from the same source, a star, for instance, and the waves form an interference pattern as they add together or cancel out, add together, cancel out. It's what we call constructive interference or destructive interference, so that the light from two or more telescopes can produce a brighter image than one alone.
The bearded leader of a student group smiles appreciatively at Adam.
But sometimes it's best just to look up at the night sky.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mr. Reiki. All right, we'll be heading out. Watch your step.
Adam, the top one's for you.
His assistant's carrying two large cardboard boxes with an envelope on top. Adam takes the envelope.
Oh, Carol? Would you like me to help you with those?
Yeah. Thank you.
He takes the top box from her. Adam crosses an aerial walkway through the woods at the top of the mountain.
Hey, man.
Hello, Brian.
Oh, you still meeting up with everyone later? Awesome.
Adam nods and smiles, still holding the envelope. Adam sits on a bench which backs onto a spectacular view of misty mountain tops stretching into the distance. He examines the envelope, then opens it. Inside is a children's book with a colourful cover. Raccoons cluster around a treehouse in a park, and lights on skyscrapers spell out the title, Adam. He opens the book and finds a message.
Dear Adam, look how far we've come. Love, Beth.
The title page has the name in big letters, a picture of raccoons, and the author's name, Elizabeth Buchwald. Adam smiles broadly, then frowns as he starts to read.
Adam, his mother, and his father were a family of talking raccoons who lived in Central Park in the middle of New York City. They didn't really belong there, but there they were.
Adam frowns, a flicker of pain crossing his features. He stares thoughtfully.
Yesterday when you were young, everything you needed done was done for you. Now you do it on your own, but you find you're all alone. What can you do?
He tries to shake a thought from his mind, then grins, returning to the book with conflicting emotions.
Cause you can't go back now. You know there will be days when you're so tired that you can't take another step.
He laughs to himself as he reads.
Tonight we'll have no stars, and you'll think you've gone as far as you'll ever get.
Sunlight filters through the leaves of the trees on the mountaintop, and the sky is filled with a dusting of white clouds. Mist fills the mountain valleys, and clouds cover the low ground, leaving just mountaintops poking through the fleecy cover.
Yeah.
The view darkens, and stars fill the night sky.